All right, people. First and foremost, I got to put a disclaimer up. If y'all hear in my background a car horn going off, like just repeatedly, whether it sounds like, you know, Jimmy from Halloween 2 just dropped his fucking head on it and it's just blaring, just nonstop, or whether it sounds like somebody left their dog in the car and the dog is just constantly honking the horn, like back and forth, because they want their owner to come outside and hurry up so he can go home and get treats. Whatever it is, if y'all hear it, my apologies for the fucking noise pollution. I promise y'all, I'm coffeeed up right now. I have not slept all that good because I'm telling y'all, I don't know who is blaring their horn outside of their ex-spouse's house or whatever the situation is. Somebody has been honking this horn, I promise y'all, since like 2 o'clock in the morning. And I thought it was going to stop around 4 when it went on for like all of 4 o'clock in the morning, but it didn't. You know, it's I don't know what's going on out there. I don't know why anybody has not, you know, tried to figure out if it's a potential crime scene. It is just this horn. It's almost as, you know, it's almost as terrifying and just annoying as that horn from that movie, The Car. I think that was that 1977 movie. I did first time watch commentary for y'all. Check that out if y'all want. It's going to haunt my dreams at this point. And it's kept me up. But it's not about to stop what's about to happen, people. They finally dropped 35 minutes ago. They dropped the trailer for The Crow 2024, man. We've been waiting on it. I decided not to do an episode when they revealed the first look at Bill Skarsgård in the getup. You know, they dropped a picture of him and, hold on, I forgot to bring up, the IMDb page so I could see who this director was and so on and so forth. But they brought up, a picture of Eric Draven and Shelley Webster's characters. They took liberties with the looks of the characters. Now I've heard rumors that the only thing borrowed from the original property are the names of Eric Draven and Shelley Webster. And, I guess that's okay if they want this to stand 10 toes down on its own and you know, be its own entity. But, like, how far are we going to stray away from the source material? Obviously, I'm not expecting the Alex Proyas, late great Brandon Lee classic movie that still holds up today for the most part. I'm not expecting that. I've come to terms with that. You're not going to get better than that movie. However, if you can't be better than The Crow City of Angels, which I've actually grown to really appreciate, then it's a big fucking problem. You know, we've been here. We've done this dance so many times. This movie has, the movie has come out in 1994, and then we've gotten sequels afterwards. We've gotten a TV show afterwards. We've had multiple failed attempts afterwards. I remember when I first started the show, one of the first episodes I did where I really took some lengthy notes was, you know, it was talking about, is it a cursed set as far as trying to remake The Crow? Now, we've had, like I said, the late, great Brandon Lee in the role. That movie's classic, damn near 10 out of 10 film. Then I don't know who directed the sequel, but you got Vincent Perez in The Crow City of Angels. I think aesthetically that movie looks great, and I love that it tried to do its own thing. It's just that the first one cast such a big shadow, and, you know, it doesn't help that Brandon Lee died on the set of that movie. So he's forever immortalized as our Crow, our Eric Draven. So Vincent Perez didn't really stand a fighting chance the moment that the movie came out. But I've definitely grown to appreciate it. And, you know, you got some underrated casting choices there with Iggy Pop and Thomas Jane. And, oh my God, I can't remember the woman's name that played Trini from Power Rangers. Rest in peace. Shout out to her. But she plays a villain in that movie. And the chick from Not Another Teen Movie, who played Chris Evans' sister, plays the adult version of Sarah in that sequel. Then we started to really get fucking batshit bonkers, man. You had Eric Mabius, the Gregster from, you know, Cruel Intentions, play Alex Corvin, I think was his name. I can't remember what his name was. Alex Corvus? Was it Corvus? I think it was Alex Corvus, his name was, in The Crow Salvation. The Crow Salvation is not a good movie. However, it has good things going for it. The cast is decent. Kirsten Dunst, Jody Lynn O'Keff, Dale Midkiff's in there. It's got some familiar faces, but, and I've grown to kind of like the coat and the look that they went for with Eric Mabius. I just don't think he was a great leading man in that movie. Then we really get to the shit show with The Crow Wicked Prayer. That movie's fucking terrible, man. I love Edward Furlong, man. I've kind of got a soft spot for David Boreanaz on screen. I don't think the guy is a bad actor. Plus, he's a Philadelphia native, 215 stand up. But, you know, when you get Tara Reid just thrown into the mix, Dennis Hopper for no reason at all, playing a Mac Daddy pimp priest or whatever he was, you know, fucking Macy Gray, Emmanuelle Tricri, who can do no wrong on screen for me, but she's not even used properly in the movie. It's a terrible fucking movie, man. The look of Edward Furlong as the Crow is awful. Then we get, you know, prior to that, I was trying to get the movies out the way first, but prior to all of that, we had The Crow, Stairway to Heaven with Mark Dacascos, who's not only an underrated martial artist and actor. I think Mark Dacascos is, if you want to talk about trying to recreate The Crow, he is the closest to a charismatic actor as we've gotten to somebody like Brandon Lee. I'm not saying that they are the same. I think Brandon Lee was the better actor, but overall, Mark Dacascos did not do a bad job in that role. The TV show doesn't hold up too well, but I think there's like snippets of the episodes on YouTube for anybody that wants to check them out. I remember liking the show a lot when I was a kid, but it does not hold up too well overall. But it is worth going to check out, you know, to compare and contrast with the rest of the properties. Then we got the failed attempts. All of them, which I grew to really appreciate, and I wish that we could have seen at least one of them on screen. Bradley Cooper, you know, he signed on and then he dropped out of the role. He signed on to the point where they had a bunch of different concept art designs for how his look was going to be. And they all were pretty, they took their creative liberties with him, man. But it would have been pretty badass to see Bradley Cooper in a role like that. Then we had Luke Evans. I wasn't sold on Luke Evans. Then somebody on Facebook said, watch No One Lives and tell me how differently you feel about it. And I watched No One Lives and I felt completely different about it. And Luke Evans would have made a great Crow just based off of No One Lives alone. That is kind of like a Crow vengeance vigilante type of movie with a crazy twist on it. Then we had, I think Jason Momoa was signed on. Corinne Hardy was going to direct. And then Corinne Hardy dropped out of the project. Jason Momoa dropped out of the project. But then after that, they released the test footage of Jason Momoa, you know, not reciting lines, but just kind of doing like this Shakespearean acting with his hands thing in the streetlight. And I was like, wow, this could have possibly been Jason Momoa's movie where people take his acting chops seriously. And then, you know, they announced this with Bill Skarsgård. And I'm like, Skarsgård, Pennywise? I said, I can deal with that. And, you know, Danny Houston as the villain, I'm like, come on, man. We keep typecasting this guy. If the 30 Days a Night was fine, but we keep typecasting this guy as a villain in every fucking movie he's in, man. I'm just not sold on him as a villain. Now, I keep saying, you know, you're not going to get better than Alex Proyas' original movie. Sure. But when you cast villains, Michael Wincott's top dollar is always the bar. You know, if you're not trying to get better than that, then just don't have a fucking villain at all. You know what I'm saying? Don't have a head honcho at all, man. Danny Houston, as far as the lead villain, I'm just not buying it. And I remember saying to myself, I was being very fair. I'm ready for this to be something different. We've seen so many different variations of the Crow on screen. We've seen the failed attempts. We've seen the half-decent ones that people appreciate, you know, nowadays. But I said this before and I'm going to say it again. I'm not worried about Skarsgård. I think Bill Skarsgård is going to do great. What I'm worried about is everything that's surrounding him. I'm worried about the script, the overall storyline that they're going with this time. I'm worried about the casting, how the performances are going to be, how the cinematography looks, how the world that they're creating here is going to look. Because that original Crow movie, I don't know if they shot a lot of that shit with miniatures, but it is very like Tim Burton, Batman 89, Batman Returns type of shit. Just the way that the layout of this city looks. And I don't know if they're going to go with that here. I'm not sure. It's just everything around Skarsgård is what I'm worried about, you know, on and off screen. That is my biggest concern here. And I'm looking at this, you know, I was about to get into the director of this, but I'm looking at the plot here. It says soulmates Eric Draven and Shelley Webster are brutally murdered. Given the chance to save his true love by sacrificing himself, Eric sets out to seek revenge, traversing the worlds of the living and the dead to put the wrong things right. I see what y'all did there with that last line. But this director, because I'm rambling on, people, I'm going to hurry up and get into this. We're almost like 10 minutes into this. This director, Rupert Sanders. This guy has done Ghost in the Shell. I have not seen it. I know there was a lot of controversy with the casting of Scarlett Johansson in there. Snow White and the Huntsman. Haven't seen it. He was a music video director. He directed Five, Slam Dunk, Defunk. Back in 97, he was a short film director, D-, short film director, The Life, short film director, Black Hole. Music video. And it's funny, he's a music video director. I did not know that until now. But the teaser trailer they dropped yesterday looked like a fucking music video. And I was like, what the fuck is this? I was not sold on that teaser trailer. But this cast, So get the cast. Bill Skarsgård as yours truly, Eric Draven, Danny Houston, FKA Twigs. I don't know if she's an artist or what, but she plays Shelley Webster. Laura Byrne is in here. Jordan Bogler, Isabella Way, Sammy Boahila. Okay. Y'all, I tried. God damn it. David Bowles, a bunch of other names that I'm not too familiar with. People, I'm ready, man. They dropped this 35 minutes ago. Shout out to Lionsgate. This is a fucking 3-minute trailer. Now, I don't know if they're trying to compensate and be like, look, we basically shot this in secret. We know we had y'all waiting, but here's a trailer that is much longer than it has any business being. I'm cool with a 3-minute trailer. I don't think there's much you can really spoil for a Crow movie. I'm not really checking for Easter eggs. I'm not... I'm familiar with some of the source material, but I'm not familiar enough to wait for a shocking post-credit scene that's going to tie in the sequel or whatever the case may be. So it's not too much you can spoil. I don't mind a 3-minute trailer. If this is the way that y'all have to win us over for making us wait so fucking long, then yeah, I'm all for it, man. And I'm nervous as shit. I think this is when the coffee and the caffeine and everything kicks in, people, because I'm starting to get the jitters. But let's get into it, people. Let's get into this long fucking awaited trailer reaction for The Crow 2024. I will hit the play button. I'm scared as fuck, y'all. I'm not even going to fucking lie. Y'all, I'm telling you, man. If this is not amazing, let's just stop talking about it. Let me take a sip of coffee real quick. Okay, people. The Crow 2024 trailer. Official trailer. Let's get it. I'll hit the play button in 3, 2, 1. What the fuck is this? Squid Games? Oh, they must have met at like a detention center or something.
You felt like my bus.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
Smoking dope, huh?
Things. I shouldn't have seen any of it.
So she got them killed, pretty much. Oh, just bite through the bag. What a fucked up way to die. Just suffocation?
When someone dies, a crow carries their soul to the land of the dead.
Okay, we've heard this before.
And sometimes something so bad happens that the soul cannot rest.
Is that nasty, sticky, goo, bloody shit that he fell in?
Until you put the wrong things right.
Ooh!
You were given the power of...
God damn!
But you're running out of time to save her.
Jesus.
And killed you.
Yeah, you did.
Okay, where's the makeup? Where's the get up? Don't just start killing people, just regular faced Skarsgård, alright? Because we could have called it something different.
First impulse.
Oh shit.
It's love.
Oh, okay. Where is the...
You know that love promises only pain. You have no idea what hell awaits
you. Oh!
No, I do.
Did he just throw people's heads into the crowd? Okay, let's start with some positives, people, because I've got this strange type of aura around my body right now. It's not anger, It's disappointment, I guess. But I'm going to start with some positives nonetheless. Positives. The violence in here looks fucking great. Eric Draven getting shot close range with that big ass shotgun and his shit just getting just splattered. And I'm pretty sure he's going to get right up. Him being stabbed from behind with a sword and shooting through his own chest to shoot the guy that stabbed him that's behind him, that's fucking vicious. It looks like he gets hit by a truck at some point and rolls underneath it. Him walking up the stairs of whatever that building is and just getting lit the fuck up by the pistols, and then he just drops to his knees and then he gets up and starts wrecking shit again. The violence, I'm pretty sure the gunplay, the swordplay, and the fight choreography for this shit is going to be on point. It's going to be fire. But bloody does not always mean better. More violence, more fight choreography, everything that I just praised it for does not mean it's better. What the fuck is this, Lionsgate? You know, half of this fucking trailer, Bill Skarsgård, Eric Draven is walking around just with a plain face, no crow makeup on. If y'all want, listen, because this is where I got a big fucking problem with the fact that we waited this long for this. If y'all wanted to make a movie where Bill Skarsgård was getting vengeance for his girlfriend getting killed, it's not like it's a premise we haven't fucking seen before. Just call it something else. To have him throughout the majority of this trailer, and he is indeed in the majority of this trailer without the crow makeup on. I don't know if he puts it on, if he cries, I don't know if something triggers the makeup to just appear on his face. I don't know what they're doing, but he is hardly in the trailer with the makeup on. So just to have Bill Skarsgård, I don't give a fuck how good the fight choreography and the violence looks. Where's the crow? You know, you can call him Eric Draven, but where is the crow? I understand you want to take your creative liberties, but it's kind of like, I can't remember if it was Double Toasted. It was another podcast that said something about, I think they were referring to Michael Myers, and I think it was Martin Thomas from Double Toasted. Shout out to them. I don't know if it was him or Corey Coleman, but shout out to Double Toasted nonetheless. I think they were talking about Halloween 2018, where one of them stated, you want your favorite wrestler to have a certain look. And they were talking about, I think they were referring to Michael Myers with the jumpsuit and the mask, the butcher knife. Eric Draven, regardless of what trench coat he may put on, regardless of what holy bullet-filled shirt he may put on, you have to have that makeup on the character. Even the Crow Salvation, like I said, Eric Mabius was not a great leading man in the role of that, you know, in the lead role of that movie. But they had it so that he got executed, he got electrocution, and his face was so burnt up that when he was like screaming and when he came back to life, he started peeling the burns off of his face, but there were still scars going down his eyes and going upward on the corners of his mouth that made it look like the crow makeup that was drawn on in the comics and in that first movie and in the second movie. They took some liberties, but they still said, okay, we know those strips got to be going down the eyes, and we know those strips have to be going on the corners of his mouth, on towards his cheeks. So they did at least that. You know, they even did that shit, even though it was with Sharpie Marker, they did that shit with Edward Furlong in The Crow Wicked Prayer. You, like, what the fuck? I'm fine with creative liberties, man, but this ain't, I don't know if this is going to be good. The look of this movie is great. Like this, the overall look of it, it's not bad. It does not look like like it's a terribly made film, and it does not look bad on the eyes, man. There's some really great shots in here. You can tell this guy was a music video director, but that don't mean you need to apply all of that shit to a fucking reboot for The Crow that people have been waiting on for decades now. Like, I'm not angry. I'm not going on a rant, but am I disappointed as fuck? Yeah, I am. You know, the majority of the reactions y'all got out of me were violence, and I'm cool with that. But I've been waiting so long for this. It's not a movie I'm gonna give a pass to just for the violence. You know, it's not a movie I'm gonna give a pass to going into it like, well, you know, the kills were cool and the gunplay and all. Nah, like, what's this story, man? Like, what's this character? You know, what are y'all doing to make this better than City of Angels? Does it look better than City of Angels at this point? No. No, it doesn't. Not even with the, it looks like it's got better violence than City of Angels. Sure. But as a film overall, the more that I watched City of Angels and the more appreciation I got for it, this don't even look better than that. It's a big fucking problem for me, man, because y'all had more money. Y'all had more than enough time to get this shit off the ground and make it right. And I understand they want to make it their own and take their own liberties. But, you know, when you stray too far from what people are familiar with, you tend to lose audiences, man. And I get it, yo. You can't please everybody. You know, they could have made this, they could have got, a Brandon Lee stunt double or lookalike, and people still wouldn't have been satisfied. You could have picked up that storyline and had the original Eric Draven come back. You can't please everybody. People are going to complain either way, but I feel like there are going to be a lot of legitimate rants and a lot of legitimate complaints overall, about this movie. You know, it is fucked up. It's very morbid that they have to the suffocation thing with Shelley and Eric while they're facing each other at the hands of these goons. That's fucked up, man. And they do keep it in true fashion of the OG movie where it wasn't really Eric that got them killed. It was Shelley. I hate to say it, but Shelley was the one that was getting people to, you know, file the complaints about the I think it was the apartment building or something they were in, and they show up to Shelly, you know, to fuck Shelly up. You know, they beat her within inches of her life and they rape her and they kill her. And Eric just walks in on the whole act. So they do keep it true to the OG movie as far as that is concerned. But everything else, man, like I was all for them taking chances and doing their own thing, but it does not look like it's gonna work here. It looks better than Salvation and Wicked Prayer, but that's a low fucking bar, man. It's a low bar. Am I still going to see it? Am I still going to review it for y'all? Of course, man. I waited too long for this, but my thing is, I was the guy that's like, let me not judge this first picture we saw, because I did the same thing when I saw Jared Leto's Joker, and everybody was making comparisons to Bill Skarsgård's Eric Draven and Jared Leto's version of Joker in Suicide Squad. Everybody was making comparisons, the tattoos, the haircut, all of that shit. And I had to check myself, and I'm like, you know what? I did a side-by-side comparison and posted it on social media, and I said, let me be fair, because I don't want to judge it based off of one picture or the other two pictures we got with him and Shelley. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that guy and not give it a fighting chance that it deserves. Because he looks like that in the photo does not mean he's going to look like that in action. But honestly, the way that he looks in the photo, I'll take that shit over just Bill Skarsgård walking the fuck around, showing off how much he's been working out in this movie, you know, and how much fight choreography he's been doing. Because where the fuck the crow at? Where is he at? There's too much in this trailer with just Eric Draven in here. You know, not in crow form, not costumed up, ready to wreck shit, man. That's what we came to fucking see. We know what the backstory is. We know what Bill Skarsgård looks like. Like, come on, man. Like, y'all know better. Y'all know better. And that teaser trailer was a red flag. And when I posted the poster for it this morning, I said, I hope we have not waited this many years for nothing. Now, granted, this is just my first impressions on it, people. I could be dead wrong. And y'all know how I get down. Y'all know if I'm wrong about something, I'm coming right back to y'all. I'm spinning the block and I'm letting y'all know I was wrong. I said this about the movie and it turned out to be that. I said that about the movie and it turned out to be this. Y'all know I will eat my words and make retractions where need be. But as far as my first impressions now, I'm pretty fucking disappointed. Is it a terrible trailer? No, but I'm disappointed. And I know it's people out there that's going to share the same sentiment as me. So let's check it out one more again.
I thought that you were quite brilliantly broken.
Way too much time with Shelley and Eric, too.
Like,
gotta say.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
I saw things. I shouldn't have seen any of it.
And I know we're supernatural, but what is all of this extra?
Shelley! Shelley! Please don't do this!
Something I'm gonna say about these villains too, once the trailer's over. Fuck it, I'll say it now. They don't look like memorable villains at all. At all.
A crow carried a soul to the land of the dead. But sometimes something so bad happens that the soul cannot rest.
He just slapped the shit out of Eric into that little nasty pool.
Until you put the wrong things right.
God damn.
You were given the power of a god.
He's like, did I survive that? So basically, we got a fucking ritual that turns you into the crow? God damn.
I'm gonna kill them. Every single one of them.
All Danny Houston's missing is a mustache to twirl.
I killed you.
Yeah, you did.
He's like, but I haven't put on my makeup yet.
First impulse. Anger.
Lit his ass up, yo.
It's not anger. It's love.
Will you become? You know that love promises only pain. You have no idea what hell awaits you. No, I do.
Yeah, he threw somebody's heads into the fucking crowd. I know it was.
How many people have you loved?
That, and I got a problem with that. Like, get that auto-tune shit the fuck out of this trailer, man. God damn, y'all, man. Look, and the villains, hold up, because the shit kept playing, people. My apologies. But the fucking villains here, this is the thing. Okay, and listen, I'm a hypocrite, all right? I'm going to keep comparing it to the motherfucking original movie, all right? Because it's a fucking reboot. One of the things about that reboot, or one of the things about the original, all the villains are memorable. Every single one of them. Top Dollar is a memorable head honcho. His chick, who was like his father's daughter, she's a memorable villain too. You know, she's the one that likes to cut people's eyes out, and she's like, I like her pretty eyes, or whatever the fuck she says. She's memorable. She's got a memorable look. She's got a memorable tattoo on the back of her back. Y'all know what the fuck I meant, man. You got Fun Boy. You got Tintin. You got T-Bird. You got Skank. They're all memorable villains. They've all got memorable death scenes. They all got memorable lines. Here, you just got the run-of-the-mill goons that this motherfucker is going to run through. Now, granted, there was a sequence in that OG movie where Eric Draven is just slicing and shooting his way through all of those goons. David J. Scow, the writer and producer, I think, was actually one of those goons in that movie. I think he helped write the script for Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3, but that's neither here nor there. But you got the scene where he's just massacring these dudes while they're playing that, I don't know which song is playing, but it's a really memorable sequence. Yeah, they recreate that here. But you're like, the guys that are in the apartment, they don't have any distinctive looks to them at all. They just look like your typical disposable goons of the head honcho. Danny Houston, that whole villainous cliche shit where I'm going to sit in this auditorium by myself. Like, I guess he rented the motherfucker out or he owns it and just watch this amazing piano piece be played in front of me. Like, that shit's been done to death. This is one of the reasons I did not want Danny Houston to be a villain, because I just don't think he's going to hold any weight. He's not going to be menacing at all. I think all of Danny Houston's menace on screen went into 30 Days a Night. So much so that he couldn't even convey it properly on screen when he was in Logan, or not Logan, when he was in X-Men Origins Wolverine, when he's in Wonder Woman, when he's even in the number 23 with Jim Carrey in Virginia Madsen. It's like, it was everything else around Skarsgård I was going to be worried about. And the one thing I'm worried about with Skarsgård, and I hate to say it because I'm rooting for him, he is the thing that I know is going to be great in this movie. Even with the problems I got with this trailer, there's no doubt in my mind that Bill Skarsgård is going to do an amazing job here. Whether this movie bombs or whether it does well, Bill Skarsgård is going to be remembered. Yeah, well, he was in that bad remake of The Crow, or that good remake of The Crow, however it turns out to be. But the one thing I'm worried about and I'm complaining about with him, you are in this trailer way too much without the makeup. And we are spending way too much time on this trailer. We know the backstory of Shelley Webster and Eric Draven. But please don't make a big fucking first act of this movie with them two in it. Like, I don't know if it's just the way that they're editing this together. But they're making it seem like we're going to be spending way more time than we should with Eric and Shelley. And being as though this is, you know, love will make you do some crazy shit, that should have been the tagline. But this is like a tragic love story at the end of the day. We know the story. And I get that they want this chick, FKA Twigs, I'm sorry if I'm getting her name wrong, but they want her to showcase her acting chops. They want to show you that not only are Eric and Shelley different in this version, but they also have chemistry on screen as actors, as an actor and an actress. I can respect that. But I don't want to spend too much time with them. I'm ready to get that. I haven't waited, you know, decades for a fucking reboot of The Crow just to get this, you know, a full first act and the second act of this whole love story on screen, because we're not going to get any time for Eric Draven's character to get fleshed out. You know, his resurrected version of his character to get fleshed out. It's just a lot of shit working against this trailer, man. Look, we're 30 minutes into this. I feel like I can wrap it up at this point. I don't want it to turn into a rant, man, but I feel like my criticisms are legit. I do. You know, and that's even my criticism outside of me stacking this up against it. I want to like this as something that exists on its own. But if you're going to do shit that's not, you know, not hitting home and not really making an impact the first time around with this trailer, then yeah, I'm going to make it, you know, I'm going to make comparisons to the original, because I can just go back and watch that, you know, or I can go back and watch City of Angels or something. Like I said, man, I don't know how well this is going to stack up to, it looks better than Salvation and Wicked Prayer, sure, but like I said, the bar is low. Now, if this shit comes out and I go back and I tell myself, like, Salvation wasn't all that bad compared to this one, that is a problem. It's a problem. I think there was a reason that we didn't really get any B-roll footage or production still photos and things like that. I think they didn't want to, you know, they didn't want to alarm people because they knew how different this movie was going to be. You know, that shot, that's those shots of Eric Draven in the car fighting those guys as the car is speeding down that tunnel. You know, it's Deadpool, John Wick type of shit. And I don't know how heavily influenced this is going to be by shit like John Wick, but it's there. It's already there. The whole, this is going to have such a classical villain and the Shakespeareanisms of the classicalisms and everything is elegance and da 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 and all. Like, we don't really, I ain't going to say we don't really need that. I'm not going to speak for everybody. I speak for myself, but where are you taking your influences from? And if you are taking your influences from everywhere else except for your own original ideas, that's another big fucking problem you guys are going to have with this movie, man. But I say all that to say this. I have a lot of criticisms. I'm overall disappointed. Yes, I am. I'm not going to lie. But I will still reserve judgment for this movie just based off the fact that I've waited a long time for this. And I don't like to come across on this platform as a brat. You know, I just did this the other day when they announced the Halloween TV series. And I'm like, I was that guy that, you know, I was bitching and moaning when Halloween Kills got pushed back. And, you know, when they said Halloween Ends was going to be a movie that fans were going to be pretty divided on and so on and so forth. I do a lot of complaining when I don't get, you know, Michael Myers on screen or a Fast and Furious movie on screen or one of my favorite movies on screen. Like when time passes or when release dates get shifted around, I do a lot of complaining and then, you know, I finally get it. So I try not to be that guy just based on how long I've been curious about this, how long I've been waiting on it, how long I've been anticipating. I'm going to still give this a fair chance. I don't know if a second trailer will help this any. I'm almost set in stone. I think a 3-minute trailer showed me enough of what to expect from this movie. But, you know, if they want to give a trailer 2 where more action is showcased, where more Eric Draven is showcased in full getup, makeup and everything, then that's cool. But I'm hoping I'm wrong. I'm hoping I'm wrong about this. It's something in the back of my mind. I wanted this to break the internet for all the right reasons. I wanted this to surprise me. But somewhere, y'all know when y'all get that gut feeling, man. Somewhere in my heart and my soul, I was like, I know I'm going to have bad things to say about this. And I did. My intuition was right. But it's not a completely bad trailer. I just know people are going to be ripping this shit to shreds, man. I'm more interested in seeing, because I know the hate is coming. The hate based off of the casting, the director, the idea of it, before the picture even dropped, the hate train was already rocking and rolling, express speed. So I know when the trailer, when people see this trailer and do their reactions, I can't wait to see what they say about it. I know that people are going to tear this to shreds for the most part, but I'm more curious to see the people that are going to be optimistic about this, the people that actually enjoy this trailer. That's what I'm more curious to see, because I want to see exactly, excuse me, exactly what people really like about it. Maybe they like a bunch of things that I may have missed out on. I like to watch trailer reactions for people that don't share the same opinion as me, because I look at it like, okay, maybe they could teach me something. You know, each one teach one. I'm still a student of this shit, man. I'm still a sponge, so it's a lot more to learn from, you know, my fellow creatives out there. So I mean, here y'all have my thoughts here, so I can't wait to hear y'all thoughts on it, man. But y'all already know where to go, people. And if y'all don't, y'all can follow the podcast on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Breaker, Radio Public, Podbean, and Podcast Addict. Shout out Spotify for podcasters. Follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, Romero Tudor. Shout out to the Facebook movie group, The Cinemaniacs. And last, but certainly not least, shout out to the Tudor reviewers, the listeners, the lovers, the supporters out there. It is another trailer I wanted to get to. And if that trailer is more exciting than this, then that's a big fucking problem. Again, it's a trailer for a movie, I think it's a Netflix movie J-Lo is coming out with. And she's going up against some AI, some rogue AI gone wrong. Like, I don't know, is this Terminator? I have no fucking clue. But I said, why not give it a chance, man? I still gotta watch J-Lo's other Netflix movie, Mother. Did a trailer reaction for that, but I never got a chance to finish the movie. I think I probably got like 30 minutes into it, and just didn't, you know, didn't finish it. Not to say it was bad, I just I don't know. So we'll see what the J-Lo trailer has to bring, man. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this one. I like I said, I have been dialing a bit back on the commentaries. I think the last one was the Wait and Exhale commentary I did for you ladies' International Women's Month. So we're still celebrating that. But make sure y'all go check that commentary out if y'all want to, man. And I know I said follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. TikTok, they about to ban that shit. So, I mean, thank God I didn't get a chance to, you know, start making some coin off of it just yet. And so, you know, I didn't want to get that attached to it and then they just pull the rug from up under it. But I don't know what the fuck they're going on about. You talking about banning that shit. They're talking about banning that platform, that social media platform. And now they're about to try to pass a bill that's going to ban Flamin' Hot Cheetos in schools for the kids. You motherfuckers need to get it together, man. I hope I don't get canceled for saying this shit. But you officials out there, get it together, man. Y'all are focusing on the wrong things. The world is in turmoil. And I know I don't talk about a lot of politics and, you know, like certain shit like that that would put a damper on the narrative here. But y'all, they got to get it together. They got to, man. It's wars and murders and kids being snatched up and just villages being overturned. And they're like, yeah, we got to get rid of this social media platform and these hot Cheetos, man. We got to get rid of all of it. Like y'all priorities are all fucked up. But that's one of the reasons I don't talk about politics. I don't really discuss religion, politics, and all of that shit on the Tudor Reviews podcast, people, because y'all gravitate. I don't know what type of that sound like Bill Skarsgård's accent that I was doing just now when I said gravitate. What is he using an accent in this movie? I can't tell because it seems like in the one scene where he's talking to somebody, he's like, I'm going to kill every each and single one of them, whatever the fuck he says. And I don't know what accent that was, but it does sound like he was using an accent in that scene. I don't know if he picks it up from the guy that recreates that line. Sarah said, he's like, a crow comes to set the wrong things right. I don't know who that dude is, but this whole, you know, I'm a shaman from the mystical abandoned warehouse and I got crows in here that are going to transform you with the ritual Santeria. I don't know what that sequence is going to be about, but I would have just much rather the crow landed on his tombstone and he just came out of the grave. You know, I don't really need a bunch of explanation for the shit and I don't need a whole holistic ritual for Eric Draven, but, you know, liberties are being taken, people. But y'all already know. Love, support y'all, show me. I show it back to y'all tenfold and then some. So with that being said, people, yours truly, Romero Tudor. Another episode of Tudor Reviews in the can. I'll check y'all on the next one.